Dr. Feiner and Dr. Callis. It must be something about dentistry, who collaborated at different stages in arranging this year. And I appreciate the invitation, and I'm happy to be here. It's a little bit of a shorter slot. I saw the email someone forwarded to me today. Usually I speak for a little longer than a half an hour, but Blinetta, we will do our best to make it into the regular time slot. Don't be scared off by all the sources. We'll try to work deftly and, but yet clearly, to try to give you a taste of all of the Mar Mekomos, but hopefully, as I say, keep within the time slot. If I'm getting close to, like, the drop-dead point, if you could just drop that and let me, in a visible way, let me know that I have, like, a minute left, then I will make sure to wrap up. But Blinetta, we will try to stay within that half an hour mark. Someone was just mentioning a moment ago that the Gemara that we're going to start with is one of the most well-known Gemaras for Baal HaBatim. So I would just say, in a somewhat similar vein, there is a certain type of person who is very well-meaning for whom this is the most favorite halacha. And the rabbi usually has this as his least favorite halacha. I don't mean the waiting for the rabbi. We'll get to that soon. But the idea of Tircha de Tzibura, which is the official title of the shir, so that's always a tension. Like, we have many halachic values that are in tension with one another. So Tircha de Tzibura, especially when we think of it in the context of a shul, so obviously that indicates, you know, not being too slow, not schlepping. And of course, the rabbi, you know, typically, and hopefully others, want things slower, more kavana, etc. So there's always a certain tension. And like most shuls, I know in our former shul of Baltimore, there was certain one person in particular, and it didn't matter what, any little shinoi to the schedule, anything, he would say to me, after a little while, it was with a twinkle and a smile, but rabbi, what about Tircha de Tzibura? Well, there are 18 brachas, I can't do anything about it. I mean, everything was, what about Tircha de Tzibura? There are people very sensitive to this halacha. So I would try to hopefully give a balanced approach to this very important and legitimate value and how we can balance it with some other things. So the Gemara, which is well known, we don't have to read all of it, but the Gemara Brachos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis tells us an astonishing statement. If we're not familiar, it's astonishing at least, in the name of Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida, which is that Chazal wanted, Bikshu, Likvoa Parshas Balak B'Kriya Shema. Now what does Parshas Balak mean? It means the whole thing, the whole story, from the beginning of our parasha to the end of Perach Chaf Dalet. That is a lot of psukim, and that was all going to be part of Kriya Shema. So if we appreciate that, then we can understand, of course, the next line of the Gemara, which is that it didn't happen. Upnei ma? Why didn't it happen? Mishum tarach tzibur. Because that would have been a big tircha. Even if you're living in a more chilled place like Eretz Yisrael, where people aren't running as quickly to work often, as opposed to some of us may have come from New York or other places where, you know, 30 minutes, you know, it's over, you got to run. So even if it was being a longer minyan, still, Parshas Balak and Kriya Shema, I think, would be a little bit much for everyone. And Baruch Hashem, Chazal felt our pain, and they didn't let it happen, and they said no. Just as a parenthetical, it's a fascinating question. Why Parshas Balak would be in Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is about Yesodos of Emuna. Like, what's the connection? So the truth is that the Gemara itself asks this question. The Gemara gives two attempts. And the whole multiple, I didn't even count the psukim, 50 psukim, the Gemara has two individual single psukim, which may have been the reason why Chazal had even this Havamina. One is rejected, and the one that is accepted, which is the one on the fourth line here on the page, of Kara Shachav Kariu Chalavi Mi Kimenu, which Rashi explains is an allusion to. The fact that it talks about both Kara and Shachav is an allusion to B'shaf B'cha of Kumecha. And if you look at Rashi and the Mefarshi Rashi, it seems to be that just like the lion, the Ari and the Lavi, can lie down B'shaf B'cha of Kumecha and never has to worry because it's the lion, doesn't have to worry about anything. So the Klal Yisrael, we can always be relaxed because we have a Kaddish Baruch Hu on our side. But L'chora, there's still more. And I think the Bali Drush and the Bali Musar still look for more because it's hard to believe that's it. You know, the fact that we don't do it seems to be for a side reason, for Tircha de Tzibura, but that one pasuk out of this whole parsha, that's what was the reason to put it all in? It's a very funny Havamina. The Gemara doesn't seem to really do justice to the Havamina, but that's not our topic. The bottom line is that there was a Havamina, and even though apparently there was a good reason, which we may not fully appreciate yet, but there was a good reason, Chazal had a Havamina, but Chazal said no, because of Tircha de Tzibura. So there are a number of examples, both in the Gemara, as well as Poskim, Shulchan Aruch, Nosei Kelim, where this issue of Tircha de Tzibura, and it's always, as I mentioned at the outset, it's always in tension, always in balance with other values. If there's no value to begin with, then you don't need Tircha de Tzibura to tell me not to do something. The question is, when you have a value that we'd want to do something, yet there could be a tircha, so there are a lot of shailas in the poskim and in Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim. But in, I thought to perhaps ground or anchor the shir, perhaps the one that's most common to us, you know, depending on what shul we're davening, it could be multiple times a day, every day, is an issue which I have to say, since I've been on both sides of the shtender, is one which can be a tension for the Baal Batim, and I can tell you, inside scoop, even for the rabbi, which is the issue of waiting for the rabbi. You know, universal minhag we're all familiar with, in pretty much every shul I've ever davened in, at least for Kriya Shema and for Shmon Esrei, they wait for the rabbi. So where does that come from? And frankly, and I'm sure you've seen it, you've been there, I'm sure once or twice at least in your life, where there's some grumbling, you know, how come the rabbi is summoning so long? You know, what about Tichet Tzibura? So it's not that's a real issue. That's not somebody just grumbling stam. That's actually a real issue. So perhaps the most important place to start on this particular shaila, and we'll broaden, Mr. Shem will broaden. I want to start with the rabbi case, but time permitting, I want to broaden it also, because I want to then get back to I have a little bit of a chiddush in the rabbi case. But let's start off with the Maror Makomos. And the first and most important, although I have to say, my guess is it will be surprising and shocking to most of you, but the first and earliest, most important source on the issue actually comes from the Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev. The Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev is about 400 plus years ago. He actually was a Greek gadol, came from Greece, and he was asked the following shaila. If you look in the second source, the Binyamin Ze'ev was asked whether you should wait for the rabbi. After all, everyone is done. Now, I don't know if everyone is literally everyone, or you know how people, they see a few people that are like them, and that becomes everybody. But somehow there was a significant number of people who are done, and they want to go home, they want to go continue. Meanwhile, the chazan's not saying chazar sashatz, because he's waiting for the rabbi. Is that the right thing or not? By the way, on a related point, if you look in the second half of the tshuva, he actually asks the second kasha, which is related, which is, let's say there's 10 people waiting for Maariv, and the rabbi is not here yet, but it's Higia Hazman, it's time for davening, there is a minyan, and the rabbi is not here, so should you wait or not? So again, in both of these cases, you have a tension. You have Kavod HaTorah, or Kavod HaRav, however you want to formulate it, and then you have the Tichet Tzibura, people are here. So the Binyamin Ze'ev is asked, or raises both of these questions. And in both cases, he comes down hard on the side of for the Baal Batim. And in both cases, he says you should not wait for the rabbi. It's totally inappropriate to wait for the rabbi. It's Tirchet Tzibura. If we just take a look at a few of the underlying parts, he says unequivocally, Nirali is daiti to ein linhog minog zeh. It's terrible. Dabakama makomos matzinu. We see in a number of places in Chazal that they were choshesh for Tirchet Tzibura. If you skip down to the next part where I have it underlined, we'll go back to that example that he quoted later in the shir. It says, "Ein lecha torah chomiyad kavod gadol mizeh lahamtin hechad kfar hishlimu atzibur tfiloson." Everyone's sitting there, everyone's waiting, and we're just waiting for the rabbi. That's tichet tzibura. That's not appropriate. And he says the same thing at the bottom of the shir. Excuse me, at the bottom of the tshuva. He quotes someone else who I'm not sure who it is, but he quotes other authorities who he has a lot of respect for. Perhaps also from Greece, I'm not sure who the Rav is he's quoting, who agreed with him. And then in the last three or four lines, he says, similarly, on my own I'm saying, also the case of the rabbi coming late. He says, once you have a minyan, it's the right time to daven, then you should start. It's Ein Roy Lahatrich Aleihen. You shouldn't wait. My high time and nearly hedged Binyamin Lomar Dechadach. Achoshev Me'akol, the Choshev Me'akol, the Rav, the leader, he's not in the basic Knesset. If you're Mamtino Sachiavo, Ein Lasos Kane. It's not appropriate, it's Tichet Tzibura to be waiting for the rabbi. Now, it's one thing for the Binyamin Ze'ev to say this, because, you know, perhaps many of us never heard of him. So we never heard of his psak, because we always rate, but we also never heard of him. But what is, I would guess, I'm venturing to guess, one of the more shocking ramahs is in fact that this is quoted lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch by the ramah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it one way or the other, but the Ramah says right below, both cases, exactly from the Binyamin Ze'ev, Ein l'shliach tzibur lahamtin alein afilu chashuvei ha'ir. Could be the most important person. We call the rabbi. You don't wait for him for chazar hashatz. Says also in the second case, Ein lahamtin al adam chashuv o gadol sh'adayin lo ba. Right? The guy in the footnote says Binyamin Ze'ev, and we now see it's exactly the Binyamin Ze'ev. Two cases in the Binyamin Ze'ev, the Ramah paskins like him, period. So of course, the question is on all of us. So how come every shul we're ever at always waits for the rabbi? So, two reasons. One reason is because if you look at the bottom of the page, both the Magen Avram and the Mishnah Brura, who quotes and passages like the Magen Avraham, says, Minog bizmanenu is to wait. We'll see what the reason is. But he doesn't quote a Bar Plukta, because there is no Bar Plukta. The Mara, the high Shemaitza of this sugi is the Binyamin Zev. And he, no one argues on him, or so it appears. The Magen Avraham was not aware of anyone arguing on him. The Mishnah Berurah wasn't either. They both said the minog is that we wait. And then they have to figure out reasons, and we'll see in a few minutes what their reasons are. But what we have been able, Baruch Hashem, over the generations, there's all sorts of kisvei yad that become discovered, and it's sometimes an awkward or almost a humbling feeling that we're often aware of tshuvas or divrei Torah that the greatest post-game of previous generations weren't privy to. So as it so happens, you know, Chacham Adif Minavi, in Klal Yisrael, you know, the post-game always talk about the wisdom of Klal Yisrael being, you know, Adif Minavi. So this minug, which developed to wait for the Rav against the Ramah, which the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah agree with, as it so happens, there's two great, great mamish from Baalei HaMesorah who both said that, and in essence, were disagreeing with the Binyamin Zev, even though until recent years, no one knew about either of them. I'm referring to one of the Gedolei HaRishonim and one of the Gedolei HaAchronim. The Gedolei HaRishonim is a tshuvas that we now have, which there's no question that Ramah did not have, is the tshuvas of the Rimigash. Now, we're familiar with the Rimigash, depending on if we do one or two Masechtas and Shas, and we have a Rebbe who likes to quote the Rimigash, so we knew about the Rimigash from there. But the Tshuvas HaRimigash is a relatively recent discovery. So most libraries, this is a wonderful Svarim library, I'm sure, without looking, that you don't have the Rimigash. But, Baruch Hashem, if you have one of these CD-ROMs, like the Bar Ilan CD-ROM, so you can become a Chacham when you have the Rimigash. So sure enough, the Rimigash is not addressing the halachic propriety of waiting for the Rabbi. He's actually asking a different question, which we're also all familiar with. Which is, what about if the chazan is schlepping? Now, it's not a question of waiting, because we have no choice. He's the chazan. He's not going to start. The shaila is that right? You have a chazan who's standing, whose silent Shemon Esrei is longer than everybody else's. So is he allowed to go at his normal pace, or does he have to hurry up? What do you say? He should hurry up? He should go short?
Well, we know he's going to argue with the video.
Oh, okay, fine. I telegraphed it. Okay, I'm sorry. So sure enough, says the Rimigash, If the chazan is the last person to finish Shmon Esrei, it's not right. Even if there's only 10. Forget the fact that there's 50 waiting for him. But the chazan should be the last person, says the Rimigash. The Rimigash. The chazan should not be the last person. But he says, if there's one person who's still davening, he doesn't have to be faster than him. And then he adds, it's like a throwaway line. And by the way, Derech Agav, Em Haya B'tzibur Misha Marech Kamohu Me Osam Shiesh Hechrich, key word, Hechrich, then there's nothing wrong with the chazan for saying a long Shmon Esrei. If anyway someone else is also saying a long Shmon Esrei, where there's a necessity to wait for him. Well, that's obviously against the Binyamin Zev, against the Ramah. You see in the Rimigash, he's assuming, again, it's agav to his case. But you see, he at least acknowledges a reality, which he endorses, that you wait for the Rav, or whoever is Mamuna as the slow davener, which in modern cultures is the Rav. We know that in European shtetlers, not every shul, obviously, and every minyan had a Rav, like in Eretz Yisrael. But still, whoever that person is that's the representative, and that, says the Rimigash, by the way, we wait for. But bigger, a more direct and a more dramatic disagreement with the Ramah and the Binyamin Zev actually comes to us even more recent than that. And that in recent years, they've discovered various kisvei yad of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And there is a tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which was published a number of years ago in the Torah journal, Maria, which is, some of you have seen that Torah journal. It's not like a flimsy journal, it's a big, fat, hardcover journal. But the beginning of it, which most people usually skip over, always has kisvei yad of earlier Rishonim or Achronim. That kisvei yad, somehow, I don't know the story, I'm not saying it's mysterious, I just didn't investigate it, it made its way also, I think after the Maria, or maybe before, I'm not sure, but it's quoted in volume 1 of Rav Sternbach's Tshuvas V'Hanhagos. And after I thought I was a great Sherlock Holmes and a detective, and I found all of that, which took all sorts of efforts, I then found out that the whole time it's sitting on my bookshelf at home. And this, I think, probably is on your bookshelf in the shul. Why? Because a number of years ago, there came out with a new fancy Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger from Machon HaMaor. And there you'll find something, aside from the fancy footnotes and the block print, which is easy to read, and it's all wonderful, that's all nice, but you'll also find a chelik revi of tshuvas of Rabbi Eger, which is not any of the earlier ones, because they collected all sorts of tshuvas that he had either in other published svarim, in Joshua Chiddush, Chiddush of Rabbi Eger, or in Ksav Yad, and sure enough, this tshuva, which was floating around in Ksav Yad, and I don't know the whole history, I know that they thank at the beginning of the volume, Rav Nosson Gestetner's Zatzal, which has passed away, we're still in the year since he passed away, so he somehow was connected to Rabbi Eger, maybe he's a family descendant, so he had a lot of stuff. So somehow they got this tshuva, and sure enough, if you have the new fancy Rabbi Eger's, you have it, I put it on the sheet. Rabbi Eger's a short tshuva where he's screaming. He wants to know the following shaila. Here, it's not the rabbi versus the balabatim. Everyone agrees that the rabbi is out of sync with the shul. They want to go faster, he wants to go slower. So why should we have machlokas? The rabbi and the shul both agree that they shouldn't wait for him. You would have asked me, I said, what's the problem? Beautiful. The Baal Batim showed cover, they asked him. He showed seichel, he's mochel. What's bad? Oh, Rabbi Akiva Eger goes to town. He says, this is the worst thing ever. this is clearly rabbinic hyperbole, but it's still, even when someone like Rabbi Akiva Eger exaggerates, it's still worth hearing his exaggerations. This is miyisodei Torah seinu hakedosha. To wait for the rabbi. Miyisodei HaTorah. Against the Ramah, by the way. But it's Miyisodei HaTorah. Mufurashim Divrei Rabbeinu. Which Rabbeinu? I don't even know. Umehem Lanu. We can't move from the Divrei Rabbeinu, which we don't know, he doesn't quote. Chas v'shalom losur medivreya mekutzel shel yud. Because if we'll just stop waiting for the rabbi, yipol kol HaTorah chalila v'chalila. He could have written for one of those things that we have. This is a serious kolkore. Now, again, I don't know what animated such, passion by Rabbi Akiva Eger. But one thing we know is it's not like the Binyamin Zev, it's not like the Ramah. And I'm also sure that the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah didn't know about this Rabbi Akiva Eger. But Baruch Shek, they were Mechavin. So it's really the Minhag Yisrael, which the Magen Avraham adopts, which is that we do wait. So we have a Magen Avraham, we have a Mishnah Berurah, and we now have discovered it's also Rabbi Akiva Eger, and it's already mentioned way, way back by the Rimi Gash, that there's a Minhag to wait, and that it's the right thing. Just to mention briefly, because these are two important things which are both of seichel and of decency in Derech Eretz, two things. One is that both the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah mention that the rabbi shouldn't go too slow. Some of you may know, a few years ago, when Rav Meir Shechter Zatzal passed away, so Rav Hershel Shechter Shlita did not daven for the Amud, because he says a very long Shmona Esrei, and he's self-aware. And he didn't want to be Matriach Tzibur, not in yeshiva. He came to my shul in Baltimore at one point. He wouldn't daven for the Yomid, even though he was in B'toch Yud Beis Chodesh then. He didn't want people to wait for him. So if you do take the Yomid, though, or if any or in terms of waiting for you, if you're not the Chazan, the rabbi shouldn't be Matriach Tzibur. The Magen Avraham just says it's not, you shouldn't do it. The Machzis HaShekel says it's, also not such a great idea. And the Meprim Agadim says a Rav who does that will be punished. So, the Rav also has a responsibility here. We're going to show cover to the Rav, but the Rav also has a responsibility to show cover to the Tzibur. Okay. The value which underlied the Gemara we started with, and the Binyamin Yamin Zev, says the Magen Avraham and the other poskim, the Rav should be sensitive to that. That's number one. On the other hand, what about a Rav who wants to daven well? But they want to wait for him. Everyone's trying to do the right thing. So the poskim mentioned that there's no problem with the rabbi somehow letting the Tzibur know that they can go on. What's interesting is that when I had this sometimes when I was the Rav, so I would just kind of wave or I made a thing with, one for like 5 minutes, three for the curveball. Like with the Gabbai, he knew when to go. And that, in fact, is quoted in the Stei Chemed's Tshuvas. There's a Tshuva Sefer called Michtav L'Chizkiyahu, which is the Tshuvas or letters of the Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed's name was Chaim Chizkiyahu Medini. So Tshuvas M'Chizkiyahu, this is the Tshuvas of the Stei Chemed. Simen Tes. He has an article on this topic, and he mentions that the Rav can have a hint. He can give a hint. But what he also mentions, which is quoted here already in the Magen Avraham and other poskim, and they seem to prefer it, which I have to be honest with you, it was a chiddush to me. I never seen anyone do it. They said there's nothing wrong with the Rav in the middle of Shmona Esrei, not in the middle of a bracha, but in the middle of Shmona Esrei, he could take like 3 steps back to fake out the tzibur. They think he's done. I'm not sure. It's in the Magen Avraham. It's there. And the Stei Chemed even says he's not sure which is better, his idea with the fingers and the wink wink, or the 3 steps. It's a chiddush atzum. But they say no problem. Now then they say you should go back to your makomo and the rav should continue. But at least to get them started, he's allowed to take the three steps. Now, I've never seen anybody do this. If someone does, please let me know. I just want to know, like, where and when. That'll be good for the next year. Yeah.
The
Rav Yeager is supporting this. It's against the Binyamin Zev and the Ramah.
No, it's... Rav Yeager says the Rav can't be a mokhon.
He says... Well, it's an interesting question. That's a good hara. He's talking about a case where, for Meirosh, like, systematically, the community says, we're mokhon on this whole thing. I don't... That's not the same thing as on a case-by-case basis, the rabbi giving a hint. Now, could it be that he argues on that? I don't know. But that's not the same thing. I'm assuming that he would agree to that, but it's an open question. But the point is, it's all when I meant it's with Rabbi Akiva Eiger or the, not like the Binyamin Zev. Otherwise, it's all based on the assumption they're going to wait for him. Just once they're waiting for him, there have to be this mutual sensitivity. Okay, now quickly, why is it? What happened? The Binyamin Zev and the Ramah are so strong that it's Tircha de Tzibura. So how do we get from Tircha de Tzibura to all these issues where we are waiting? How many more minutes do I have? 10. Oh, plenty of time. So, the Binyamin Zev is the earliest direct authority to talk about this. He is repeated and clear, it's Tircha de Tzibura. The Ramah paskens this way. So how come we're ignoring that? What happened to the Gemara? It's Gemara Brachos, Tircha de Tzibura. So I was able to find two or three reasons, and now I also want to share with you my own thought of a fourth reason. The first reason is one that's quoted by the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. And this is interesting. It's, you know, the rabbis, it's an indictment of the Tzibur. The Magen Avraham says, you know what the problem is? The problem is that most of the people daven so fast that it's not fair to the miut that does say a Shmon Esrei the right way with Kavana. And they're always missing Kedusha. It's not fair to them. So you're not going to tell the whole shul, wait for the guy in the back who's a little bit slower than you. But what do you do? They'll have coverage behind the rabbi. If everyone has to wait for the rabbi, who presumably is more or less at the same speed as the slow guy in the back, then at least you're making a statement that anyone who wants to daven properly can also get Kedusha. But if you always say, the second we have 10, we're going to go, irregardless of the rabbi or anyone else who's officially the role model or the authority figure, then anyone who has a quiet, slow Shmon Esrei is never going to get to hear Chazar Sashatz and Kedusha, etc. It's not the strongest reason. It never would have dawned on me, and even if it had dawned on me, I'm not sure I would have felt that that's enough to be dochet. But that's what the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say. If you take a look at the next page, or before I mention, on the top of the second page, the Bir Halacha mentions a similar idea when it comes to the rabbi waiting. You have 10 people for Marv. Marv is at 10:15, and the rabbi's not here. Do we start or not? So the Ramah said not to start. So the Bir Halacha says, Bederklal, you shouldn't start, because in many communities, they do wait. They do wait. Why do they wait? So also, the Bir Halacha doesn't make some passionate, like Rabbi Kiva Eger-esque plea for Kavanah Torah or anything like that. Bir Halacha says also, very practically, because the Balabatim without the rabbi, they're going to daven before the Shkia, they're going to daven before the Tzeis, it's time to decide, they're not going to know when to daven, they're going to make a mistake. You know, minyanim without rabbis is, you know, one big game of Russian roulette. Like, it's inevitable you're going to make a mistake. So why start davening when you don't have the rabbi yet? That's all the Bir Halacha says. So it's an important point. But in terms of our understanding of the sugya, it seems to be a very technical side point. But yet, just like the Magen Avraham says we wait by Shmon Esrei because we're worried about people missing Kedusha, so the Bir Halacha says we wait by starting the minyan so that we don't make other mistakes. But on the actual point of, isn't this Tircha de Tzibura? Implicitly, they seem to be acknowledging it's Tircha de Tzibura. They're just saying that there's some side reason that we should worry anyway. That's the approach of the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, and L'shitasu and the Bir Halacha. A second completely different reason, which to me is much more persuasive, is quoted by the Stechemid also in these Tshuvas, Mechtev L'chizkiyo. And he assumes it's an umduna, but I think it's very persuasive, at least in many cases. He said the Tzibur is Bochel. He says, again, and this is again, you know, again, I'm not saying it's going to, Rabbi Eger is talking about something else, where you're legislating an all-out Mechila. Kirby Rabbi Eger disagrees with this, I don't know, but it is a little different. But the Steich Emet says, people are Mochel. They're Mochel for the rabbi. But then he quotes people who ask on him, and he, at the end of the day, he says, on the other hand, you look around, I don't know, you know. No one name me any shuls here, I don't want any names. Or rabbis. But he goes, a lot of shuls, it's not so clear that people are really being Mochel. You know, if everyone's grumbling in the back about the rabbi's slush Shmon Esrei, that's not called Mechila. So what's Pshat? So he says, well, I don't know. And in the end, he says, Gavna Nira Deshari Lahafsik Kaven Ain Bahafsak Eli Sir Rabban. He says, well, you know what? You're right. If you're in a tzibur where the tzibur is not makil, is not mochel, excuse me, then the rabbi should, you know, take the three steps back or, you know, do the hint thing and he should be mafsik. If the tzibur is taka mochel, then the rabbi should just say Shmon Esrei and everyone's happy. But if they're not mochel, then he should be mafsik and it's okay. It's okay to be mafsik. It's not the end of the world. But that's really answer number two is mechila. I just mentioned very quickly as an aside, if you want to look at the next three sources, I won't read them inside at all, but this idea that the Stechemed mentions about mechila, there is earlier sources for that idea. Another big bane of people's existence, especially in the big American shuls, which is how many aliyahs and hosafas that we make on Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch says we have no less than seven, and the Shulchan Aruch says we're allowed to be mosif, or ratzal hosif mosif. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from earlier poskim, you know, we shouldn't do too many, and the Berhetev said you shouldn't do more than 10. Have you tried that here this Shabbos? Shouldn't do more than 10. Oh, you know, I just came back. Wednesday, I was in the great synagogue of Rome, which is Taka, a great synagogue. It's an unbelievable shul. And there's a museum of the history of Jews in Rome, which is the oldest Jewish community in all of the Gola, because there were people there even before the Churban who went. From Yehuda HaMakabi, Shluchim went to set up business in Rome. So before Churban Bayis Sheni, and since, continuously, without any break, there's been a tzibur of Jews in Rome. And today, the good thing is it's one of the few great shuls in Europe, which is actually still used as a minyan. In Rome, there's still a minyan every day. And more than that, in other shuls too, but in the great synagogue there is. But attached to the great synagogue, there's a museum of Jewish history in Rome. And my father, who was with us, also showed me, I had missed it, one of these things that the Gabbais have, like these little silver things, you know, you give the person Kohei and Levi. There was 24.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So whether that was every Shabbos or not, I don't know. Maybe that's why there's other shuls in Rome, because if they're giving out 24 aliyahs every Shabbos, doesn't matter how big and beautiful the shul is, you're going to want to daven somewhere else. I understand that. But when do you see in the poskim where aliyah, and maybe this was in Rome too, I don't know, Shabbos Shavu Brachos. There's a minug, which Rav Menashe Klein in the Tshuvos Mishnah Halachos quotes back to the Maharil, that Shabbos Shavu Brachos, they give as many people an aliyah as possible, because each person who has an aliyah is like the shoshivinan of the couple. It's good for drush at the next Shavu Brachos you have to speak at. And he says here the following, every three psukim, another person should get an aliyah. That's more than 24 in a lot of parshas, right? Amazing. So people, how can you do such a thing? So, yes, no, maybe. But when it comes to that particular Shabbos, Shavu Brachos, something which is very debatable on the Metzias level, but the Tshuvos Mishnah Halachos says at the end of number three, anyone who's coming to a simcha, they're mochel, because they know they're coming to a simcha, and they just want the Baali simcha to be happy. We all come to simcha, such leif shalim. I don't know if I can say that about myself. But lemaisa, people come to a simcha, so you know the davening's going to be a little bit of a schlepzach. It's a little bit longer than a simcha. You didn't realize how much longer. So he's defending the possibility of even giving 20, 30 aliyahs, even every three people, every three psukim. Again, the idea of the steichemen, that mechila works for tichon tzibura.
Then the chassan has more of a chiyuv on the week of Shavu Brachos to get an aliyah.
No one's quibbling on the chassan. It's the 23 other people. Okay. Now, a third reason, by the way, just as I saw one sefer who quoted this very seriously, and then Rav Osher Weiss's sefer on Chumash, he says it's in a footnote, but he calls it derech tzachos. So he thinks it's a joke, and I saw a different sefer who said it very seriously, which is that mitzad echad, there's a number of gemaras and shas and psachim and in brachos that say that one of the ways to have a shortened life is to be a rabbi. It's makar of your yishanim. It's not a good, healthy way to go. All the Jewish mothers already know this. This gemara everyone knows. It's not a good, healthy thing for a good Jewish boy to be a rabbi. Mitzad sheni, we know that one of the things that's marach shanim is to have a long Shmon Esrei, it's daven b'kavana. So some say, meanwhile, the Rav, he's Moser Nefesh, he puts his life in danger to be the rabbi. The least we could do for him is let him have a long Shmon Esrei so he can counteract the negative effects of being the rabbi on his health. The spirit, he'll protect himself prophylactically by having a long Shmon Esrei. So Rav Asher Weiss called that Derech Tzachos, but that's on the books. If you give me another 5-6 minutes, I want to share with you a chiddush, perhaps, of a fourth way. A fourth way of understanding this halacha comes from an idea which I want to apply on my own, but it's not an idea that I discovered. A number of Sfarim pointed out, including, if you're interested, in the Rav Asher Weiss's popular Sfarim al HaTorah, Minchas Asher, on the first piece in Balak, he makes the Ha'ara. He's not going to connect it to the rabbi at all, which we will in a minute, but he does make the following Ha'ara, as do some other Sfarim, which is that if you look in Shas, there seems to be an interchanging of two terms, at least according to some Rishonim. Tircha Tzibura and Kavod HaTzibur. So for example, well-known sugi in Masechta Yuma, number 4, that the Kohen Gadol, would read three parshios on Yom Kippur. He'd read the first one. Then he would be golel to the second one. And the third one, Mishnayos say, he did ba'al peh. So the Gemara asked, why isn't he golel? Why doesn't he roll the Torah again to the third parsha? And the Gemara in Yuma says, in golel and sefer Torah, but they kavod hatzibor. Kavod hatzibor. But if you look in the Rishonim, what's the kavod hatzibor? So Rashi doesn't use any, you know, hot-button terms, but Rashi says, well, people will be waiting and they're quiet. That sounds like what? It sounds like tircha, even Rashi doesn't say it. But if you look in the Ritva, in the Rambam, they beferish use the term, which the Gemara called kavod, but when they paskin and explain this Gemara and this halacha, they say, we're not golel, we don't roll the Torah to another place to get to the second laning in front of other people, because it's a tircha. What the Gemara called kavod, these Rishonim interpolate, you could say, as tircha. Furthermore, the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Tes, says in the time of Chazal, they didn't have a beam of beautiful like we have in the shul. They kept the Torah in another building, which was more safe, and they would bring the Torah in for Kriyas HaTorah. While they were bringing the Torah in, the Shamis would decorate, like we have, like with the Parochas, they would decorate the beam with all sorts of pretty things. After laning, when they're bringing the Torah out, so the Gemara says, we don't wait to end davening for the Shamis to roll all the beautiful Parochas up. Rather, we let everyone leave the shul, and the Shamis, he's the volunteer, he's the hero, he gets honored at the dinner, he has to stay behind when everyone else leaves, and he'll roll up the parochas. Why, says the Gemara in Sota? Mipnei kavod hatzibur. That's the lashon of the Gemara again. Kavod. And yet, when you look at Rashi on the Gemara, when Rashi explains what's the kavod hatzibur, they all left. So Rashi, in Beferish, explains that we're talking about Torah hatzibur, la'akev shamim ha-sefer Torah. So in both, you have two Rashis. In one case he's Mashma, in this case he's Beferish. You have a Ritva who's Beferish, a Rambam who's Beferish, where the Gemara, two places, refers to Kavod, they read into that Tircha. Furthermore, a Tshuva of the Rashba, on the bottom of the page, the Rashba is talking about a case of, you're ready to daven, you're ready for Kriya Satori, you're ready to call Yamod a Kohen, but the Kohen came late, and he's in the middle of Kriya Shema. So he can't be Mafsik, the Kohen has to finish. So do we wait till the Kohen has finished? He's the only Kohen in Shul, and then call him up, so everyone's waiting for 2 minutes while he says Kriya Shema, with all the Kavanas. Or do we say, forget it, Ein Tan Kohen, and call up a Levi or Yisrael b'mkomo. That's the Rashba's Shaila. The Rashba's issue is, it's Kavod HaKohen, the Kidashto, versus Tircha and Kavod. And sure, of the Tzibor. And sure, if you look at the Tshuva of the Rashba, I don't want to read it for now inside, but if you look at the various parts, I have it underlined, the Rashba, who clearly says we do not wait for the Kohen. We call up somebody else, but in the Rashba repeats his argument 3 or 4 times, and interchangeably, back and forth, the Rashba keeps on exchanging. In one place he says, it's Tircha de Tzibur, it's not Kavod of the Tzibur, it's not Tircha de Tzibur, it's not Kavod of the Tzibur. Also, totally interchanging the two terms, just like we saw Rashi, the Ritva, and the Rambam doing on the Gemara. So what do you see from all of this? Give me 2 more minutes. What you see from all of this is that there seems to be another din. And the other din, which is different than the usual Tircha de Tzibur understanding that we have, to some extent, and very different than what the Gemara uses in other places, Kavod de Tzibur. You can't give a woman an Aliyah or a Katan. So there is a completely different type of Kavod. On those Gemaras, there's no Rishon who says, don't give a woman an Aliyah, because it's Tircha somehow. The Gemara says Kavod, and we're not exactly sure what that Kavod is. It's its own hot-button topic, which you did not invite me to speak about. But it does not mean anything to do with Tircha, that's for sure. And yet, here we have a few examples in Rishonim and Chazal where the Gemara is talking about Kavod, and yet Tircha is read in. And what Rav Asher Weiss and others, and I'm kind of saying it in my own words, but I think what they're getting at is something very beautiful. Now, what's the real issue of Tircha? The real issue of Tircha, and this is a halacha I'm telling you, but it's also Musar 101, is that when you're matriach someone, you're not showing Kavod for them. When you're not, I'm not a Yekke at all, I'm actually Polish, so this is a hard thing for me, so maybe if I teach it, it'll be mechazik me. But when you make people wait for you, when you're not sensitive to someone else's time, that shows a lack of respect for them. Being matriach the tzibur is a chisaron in kavod hatzibur. There's another din of kavod which is not related. But tircha, the shorish of tircha, is that it's a lack of kavod for the person. If you're matriach, the rabbi makes you wait, theoretically. Or you're waiting for the galila or whatever, so you're not shomer on another person's time? The Binyamin Zev, in essence, is saying, you are ready to daven and you're waiting? That's showing a lack of respect for the people. You're matriach them. You say, no, what's the big deal? Tircha? Because it's deeper than that. Tircha is a lack of respect. If you're careless about someone else's time, it's a lack of respect. This idea, which seems to be at least a number of Rishonim in Gemaras, is what Rav Asher Weiss and other people point out as a Yisod. So I want to suggest, and what this will conclude, is that perhaps maybe this is a fourth reason, and if I'm right, I think this is the most, for me, the most compelling, is that maybe this is the reason that the Rekiv Eger and the Rimi Gash and the Minag Yisrael that's quoted by the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, why do we wait for the rabbi? Whether the rabbi is mochel or not, whether he gives us a wave, that's the rabbi's prerogative. But why do we as a tzibur wait for the rabbi? So I think the pshat is as follows. The reason that in theory the Binyamin Zev and the Ramah says we shouldn't wait is because it's matriach. And what did we now understand? That if you're matriach someone, you're not showing respect to him. So it would be a chisaron in the covenant of the tzibur if we would wait. That's the Binyamin Zev and the Ramah. Yet we disagree with it. So I would suggest the reason we disagree with it is because from our perspective, a tzibur that's not willing to wait for the Rav, that is the biggest chisaron in the covenant of the tzibur. What a bizayon! What kind of tzibur is it that can't wait for the Rav while he has kavana? He's davening, presumably with them in mind as well. And they're not willing to wait an extra minute or two for him? What bizayon! What kind of shul? That's the biggest embarrassment for a shul. So, l'shitaso, the whole purpose of tircha is really that we have to have kavod for the people. But the greatest way to have preserve the kavod of the shul is that it should be not known as a shul that doesn't wait for its Rav. That it's a shul that's makbid on the kavod of the Torah, the kavod of the Rav, and awake for the Rav. That itself is gufa covered for the tzibur, which we now understand is ultimately the shorish of tircha tzibura. And to me, again, it's somewhere on the line of drusha and halacha. I'm not sure. I hope I didn't go over the line. But if I'm right, to me, there's a much more compelling reason than the one the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Well, we're worried about people, you know, davening too fast, or if there is a mechila, there's not a mechila, and it's certainly better than the drush about the rabbi, you know, having a shortened life. I mean, they're all nice ideas. But l'chora, if this yisod is true, that the basis of tircha is respect for a person, respect for a tzibur, it's an adarab, the greatest disrespect that tzibur could show itself. The greatest bezoyon of the tzibur would be if they weren't waiting. So therefore, adarab, the minhag Yisrael intuited, and was enshrined by earlier poskim and later poskim, that of course we wait, because that's the greatest covenant for the tzibur, as they wait for their rav. A good Shabbos, and thank you for having me.